I'm a grateful believer who's definitely experiencing victory over alcoholism, and my name is Van. And tonight we're on lesson 13, Admit, which of course is a part of step 5. And so hopefully it'll be up here in a second. We can read it together. Well, I'll read it anyway. Principle 4, openly examine and confess my faults to God, myself, and someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart. Matthew 5. And step 5, we admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. James 5:16. Now, humor me a little bit. You guys probably have one of these little things, and there should be people even with pens if you don't have one in case you want to follow along and participate in your recovery. There are some, there's no acrostic tonight. I thought, no acrostic, what are we going to do? But there are some things that we're going to fill in a little bit later. There's 4 things we lose and 3 things we gain. And I just want to say, for those of you that I've not had the pleasure to meet, I know this isn't a testimony, but what stands before you tonight is somebody who has been to state prison 3 times, has lived homeless on the streets of Los Angeles, and it's just good to be somewhere tonight. It's good to be anywhere tonight. And you also see somebody who is totally, completely healed by the grace of God in these 12 steps. So, Paul did such a great job last week on confess. These are a little bit redundant, these step 5 lessons. You know, there's 3 or 4 of them, and they almost say the same thing. Of course, he did confess, but we're going to talk about admit. And these 12 steps really lay down such a perfect pattern for how to live. Think about it. We're powerless over our addictions, and our lives are unmanageable. We come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Then we turn our will and our lives over to that power, which is God. Then we take a good hard look at ourselves. We take a fearless and thorough moral inventory of ourselves. I know this is a tough one. People die over these 4th and 5th steps. They worry about them. They don't want to share their stuff with anybody. There's a reason in step 4. Look at the way it's written. A fearless and thorough moral inventory. They didn't use the words fearless and thorough by accident. And of course, moral means right or wrong. So we're going to talk about what's right or wrong, what's good or bad. And taking an inventory of ourselves is very, very hard. In step 5, we admit it to God, ourselves, and another human being. And I was always taught, I kind of cut my teeth in another 12-step program, but I was always taught you admit it to God for forgiveness, to yourself for honesty, and to another human being for humility. And that always made sense to me. I happen to believe that these steps are just absolutely perfect. I think they're the classic, almost architectural way of living. They're broken into 4 categories. Step 1 through 3 is submission to God. Steps 4 through 7 are confession steps. 8 and 9, of course, are restitution. And then 10, 11, and 12 are construction. Those are the ones we live for the rest of our lives. Dr. Bob, one of the co-founders of the original 12 steps, summarized all 12 steps into these 6 words. Steps 1 through 3, trust God. Steps 4 through 11, clean house. And step 12, help others. I've never done one of these lessons before. I feel it's a little bit easier to stand up and give a testimony than teach. But fortunately, I've got the world's greatest wife who just looked at me and said, you've done 5th steps before and you've helped others through 5th steps. So why don't you just talk about how you did that? And I'm very grateful. I do have some experience when it comes to the 5th step. I've done it several times myself, and it's been an honor and a privilege to hear many 5th steps from the men that have trusted me to hear their stuff. We must be confident, first of all, that our stuff will never be repeated. We must also be confident that our stuff can and will never be used against us. And I remember when I first took this step, they made it easy for me because they shared some of their stuff. And the sponsor that I have today also shared some of his stuff. So I was super, super grateful because I could tell by the ease with which they shared their stuff that they were free. They no longer felt the guilt and shame about it. And furthermore, I could tell that I'd done nothing these people had not done or thought about doing. In other words, this was my tribe. And these people understood me. So I am going to share a story. Forgive me if you've heard it before. It's not mine. I borrowed it. But I'm going to share a quick story that I think drives home a point. This little boy walks into a pet store and he says, "Mister, I got $250 and I want to buy a puppy." And the pet store owner says, "Well, the puppies are $50. They're not $250." And the young man says, "Well, can I at least see the puppies?" So he whistles and the mother dog comes walking out. And behind them, there's three or four other dogs. And then behind them, there's another one. It's half the size of the others, and it's limping. It's obviously very sick. And he says, "Mister, what's wrong with that one?" And the pet store owner says, "Well, you don't want that one, son. It'll never run. It'll never jump. It'll never play." The little boy says, "No, that might be the one I want. What happened to it?" And he says, the dog was, it's obviously a runt. It's very sick. It was born without a hip socket, and it'll never run. It'll never jump, and it'll never play." Now the little boy's getting upset, and he goes, "No, that's the one I want, and I'll give you $250 every week until I pay every penny of $50. And one more time, he says, "That's very sweet, but you don't want that one. It'll never run, it'll never jump, and it'll never play." And of course, the little boy pulls up his pant leg, and he's got a prosthetic limb. He's missing his leg. And he says, "Mister, I don't run too much, and I don't play too well, and I don't jump at all. And I want that puppy because he needs someone that understands." And I hope that blessed you like it blessed me. But I'll tell you, when you look at these steps, you realize how perfect they really are. Because especially in Celebrate Recovery, our higher power is the God of the Bible, the God with all the power. Second of all, we all come to church, but no matter what your problem is, you might hear James 5:16. You might read it and you might hear about it, but how many do it? How many actually go and confess their sins one to another and pray for one another that they might be healed? That's why Celebrate Recovery is so special to me, because after 3 decades in other 12-step programs, here you're my tribe, first of all. Our higher power is the God of the Bible. We know you can and do get well. We know that 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. We don't believe you have to stay sick. We believe there is hope to get well. But these steps are just so laid out in such a wonderful way. If you really did that fourth step, and you really took a searching and fearless moral inventory, and you've picked a sponsor or someone you can trust to share your stuff with, things happen. And now we'll go to the little handout. There's 3 things we lose. First of all, number one, we lose our sense of isolation. Because we all think that, there's always those one or two things that act up inside you when you look in the mirror that you're never going to share with another human being. It's one thing to write down your resentments and your fears and your sex stuff even, and your money stuff. But it's another thing. There's those 2 or 3 things that you're never going to share with another living being. And you all know what I'm talking about because we've all got them. Just those 2 things. You'll share everything, but those 1 or 2 things. And that gives us a sense of isolation. Number 2, we begin to lose our unwillingness to forgive others. How could we not forgive others? I mean, when you really take a good look at yourself, and I've already told you I love this. This is my fellowship, but there's another book, and it says selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of our troubles. And it is. We've been selfish. All our lives, our actions have, whatever it is, to get the hamster off the wheel, to feel better about emotions, we've been selfish and self-centered. And number 3, we will lose our inflated pride. I mean, once you've been in recovery for a while and you're feeling a little better, do we really forget what a broken... I mean, we're all in the same boat with broken oars. We all judge each other for sinning differently sometimes, don't we? And hopefully these steps, taking a good, honest self-appraisal and looking at your mess and sharing it with another human being, should at least make you more willing to forgive others. Look on them, at them as spiritually sick people. Don't look at a person with cancer and get mad at them. So if somebody offends you, is it possible to look at them as spiritually sick like you once were instead of getting angry? And number four is we lose our sense of denial. Once again, our old friend denial pops up after a while. We're feeling better and something upsets us. And we just don't remember what it used to be like. And I might as well fill in the blanks for the three things we gain. We gain healing, we gain freedom, and we gain support. And there is about three or four paragraphs here that I want to read out of this lesson 13. It's some pretty good stuff. It says, this week we're going to focus on confessing or admitting our sins, all of the dark secrets out of our past to another person. I thought this was funny. We all heard that the wages of sin is death, but you may not have heard that the wages of sin are never frozen and they're never subject to income taxes. One of the main reasons for this is because most of the wages of sin go unreported. And I know that one because I was on the streets drinking vodka and didn't file for 6 or 7 years at one point in my life. And by the way, if the wages of sin is death, shouldn't we all quit before payday? I like that one too. Why admit my wrongs? All joking aside, this part of principle four is often difficult for people. I am often asked, why do I have to admit my wrongs to another? Most of us have been keeping secrets almost all of our lives. Every day those secrets take a toll on us. The toll we pay is loss of self-respect and energy and bondage to old codependent habits. Admitting out loud these secrets strips them of their power. They lose much of their hold on us when they are spoken. Still, we're afraid to reveal our secrets to another person, even someone we trust. We somehow feel like we have everything to lose and nothing to gain. But I want you all to hear the truth tonight. Do you know what we really have to lose? And once again, we lose isolation. We begin to lose unwillingness to forgive. We begin to lose our inflated false pride. And we begin to lose our sense of denial. And then I thought this was very interesting too, because I never looked at it this way before. James 5:16 has always been one of my favorite scriptures. But I never thought about this. It says, our secrets have kept us in chains, bound, frozen, and unable to move forward in any relationship with God or others. Admitting our sins snaps the chains so that God's healing power can start. And it also says, we gain healing. It says, the key word here is healed. The verse does not say, confess your sins to one another and you'll be forgiven. God's already forgiven you when you confessed it to him. But now he says you will begin the healing process when you confess your sins to another. So if nothing else tonight, I'm going to wrap it up with this a few thoughts, but I've seen people die over the fourth and fifth step. They have no problem admitting their lives unmanageable. They have no problem coming to believe that a power greater than themselves might be able to restore them to sanity. They have no power asking this higher power they call God to restore them to sanity. They'll even write a fourth step. But as far as admitting it, it's a tough one. Before I was willing to take this step, I had to get to that point where my pain outweighed my pride. I had to get to that point where I was dying and I knew it. I was no longer a tough guy or a smart guy. I just knew I was going to die if I didn't really dig in and do it. And once again, at the risk of being redundant, they made it easy for me. I mean, they shared some of their stuff. I knew they understood, and I know I'd never done anything that they hadn't thought about doing or done themselves. And I could tell they were free. So, stop judging others for sinning differently than you. There's so many things I scribbled down here on my notes that I didn't want to forget to say. We serve a God that can heal. Oh, I'll share this. We heard a great message the other day from another church. East Hill, and he was talking about the last line of the Lord's Prayer, which of course is forgive us exactly as we forgive others. And he said, peace can only be fully enjoyed when God's forgiveness is transmitted through us as fully as it is given to us. I'm going to say that again. Peace can only be fully enjoyed when God's forgiveness is transmitted through us as fully as it is given to us. So once again, it's been an honor, and all the honor and glory go to God for my recovery. My life's better than I'd ever dreamed of before. I don't worry about drinking. There's alcohol in my home. We serve it to guests if they want a glass of wine. It just doesn't bother me a bit. I don't think about it. When my dad died, I didn't think about getting drunk. I was there for my family, and I was there for my mother and my sister. It's like the problem's been removed. As long as I stay spiritually fit and plugged into my recovery, as long as I continue to work with others and help them go through these steps. So that's it. Admit your faults, clean house, and stop judging others. Thanks for listening.